What did the Leafs lose in McCann? Do you feel as though he was a guy that was worth protecting?
Well, yeah, well, I got to see him a lot, yeah. And I think he's been, I think he's been good. He was good as a Penguin. Like, I think he was, his play was up and down. But if, when you put him in the right spot, which I think they found once Malkin went out and it was on the power, like, listen, this guy has like an elite heavy shot. Like, he can rip the puck. He's more tenacious than I thought he was coming out of Florida. Like, he has, you know, more sandpaper to his game than I thought. You know, he's tenacious on pucks and battles. He's a guy that can score goals. So, you know what, he was fairly valuable here for the Penguins. And I know in making that trade, it was kind of a, you know, pick your poison for Seattle, like, you know, trying to, you know, secure guys that they left unprotected to possibly not be selected, right? Like, Kerfoot, I don't know, like, you know, maybe it was a little decoy strategy with that. And, you know, if that was their strategy, it worked. But a guy that I think, you know, is super versatile too in the lineup. Like, he can play wing, he can play center, he can play up in the lineup, he can play down in the lineup. Just a little bit erratic with the production, but there's no doubt when they found like a good recipe or spot for him that he could create and score and produce. And he kind of got that going by being on the power play, on that top unit power play. And I guess they call it.
Oh, we just lost you. Just lost him. Well, I'll say this, like, as we lost him is, this couldn't be going worse. And I know Colby's like a positive guy and he does see the best in things, but holy crap. Those are a lot of things that the Maple Leafs needed. Depth guy who could score, play a couple positions, and the power play stuff, finding him a role in the power play. Some of you who follow this Maple Leafs team might recall that, the power play was a sore spot last year. It was not great. And so if you're going to lose Hyman, you need some production somewhere on the wing. And you need somebody who can play in the middle. And again, with a crap power play. I shouldn't say crap power play, but a power play that really underperformed last year. Losing a guy like that, maybe it is worse. I guess, like, the question, Colby, that it comes down to is, like, they had a defenseman in Justin Hall who's $2 million. And yeah, he can play in your top four. And everybody now is playing the game of Hall isn't worth it, and Hall stinks, and Hall's this, and Hall's that, and he needs Muzzin. But ultimately, $2 million for a top four D-man is a really, really good thing to have, especially with the certainty of it. But you, again, like, he's someone where you just weigh in. Like, do you think that you'd rather have McCann at that number, which is sub-3, or Hall at 2? Especially considering what was there for the Kraken on the blue line. Like, there kind of is a case that maybe they wouldn't have taken Hall.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I was, like, you'd read Justin Bourne's tweets about, you know, kind of the underwhelming feeling of the Seattle draft. I kind of get that feeling.
Dude, it was brutal.
I kind of get that feeling big time in seeing the players that were available, but it comes down to GM Olympics, man. This is all salary cap. This is all, you know, teams also figuring out from Vegas and, you know, some of these, you know, side deals that I think, you know, Vegas really cleaned up on also. But, yeah, I mean, you know, bringing it back, I think when you look at the defensemen that they acquired, I think they might not have taken Hall considering, you know, the guys that they took and maybe would have went in the direction anyways of McCann anyway. I think, you know, that's what I would have done probably, the exact same thing they did. But I think it's smart to keep Hall. I think it's smart to keep his potential of what he can be on the back end and how good he can be there. So, yeah, interesting. Like, tell me this. Do you like, I know it's exciting with the new franchise and the expansion draft and everything. And like I said, the GM Olympics and, you know, all these teams getting squeezed. And like, I think it's going to be crazy in the next few days once, you know, with all the trades that are going to start to come down with teams, because cap space is king, right? And you know, that's unfortunately exactly what the league is now. And it's not like, you know, well, we got this player. Oh, he's so good. It's like, yeah, we got this player, but he's good, but he sucks because of his cap number, or he's good and we'd love to have him, but we can't. So it's like, so what's going on? Like, what's going to happen to all these RFAs that maybe aren't going to get qualified? and are going to just slide out into no man's land. And then we're going to see all the older veteran guys with like literally PTOs probably just because no one can fit in anywhere. Like it's just crazy to see the league like that when you have like good quality players all over the place on every team and everyone's just trying to like crunch numbers and like nerds, you know, it's just like, it's crazy to see. So that's the league right now. That's what it is. And that's what the expansion does. And this is what we're at with the cap and the flat cap and Corona and everything. And it's just like hammering every team, every player affected. Contracts that are like okay are awful. And, you know, contracts that are bad are really, really bad. And it just like, you know, hyperventilates everything. So I don't know, it's kind of crazy just as like a hockey guy, like a fan of the game. And like, I just think like if I'm a fan, like a Leafs fan, and I'm watching and I like my team, I'm going, okay, not the success that we would have wanted. Okay, we got these extra guys. Okay, we got McCann. What's the potential of this? And then you look at the cap and you're like, oh my God, like we got all these guys. It's always to the cap with the Leafs, right? Because they've got all these young guys that are getting paid. And there's like all these other guys that are on the fringes that you look at Tampa's depth. That's all we talk about. And now all these guys are getting squeezed out. Like everyone's gone. Boom, gone. So like who do you, so you just cheer for the guys that make the most money. And then in a few years when that contract is awful, you just, he's gone. Get rid of him.
No, dude, it sucks.
We'll beat the Islanders.
The NHL is the dumbest league. It's the dumbest league, and they had zero vision for this, and they've had zero willingness to move off of the current position. But it's something I hammer home time and time and time again. The NBA has a salary cap, right? But they also have mechanisms that allow you to pay up into a luxury tax, right? So you can go beyond the cap. It's not a hard cap. The NFL are non-guaranteed contracts, which you would never see in the NHL, and I'm not advocating for that system here. It's different with 53-man rosters and cycles of how long NFL players last and more money up for all these different things. There's reasons why you can't have that system. But when people say, well, the NHL is a salary cap league just like everywhere else, it's like, no, they're not hard cap leagues like that. They don't have any type of escapes. In the NHL, you pay somebody, you give them a bad contract, you're completely screwed. You have to pray that they go on LTIR. There's no other way for you to get relief. And it doesn't go up enough each year where you can actually end up doing, even before the pandemic, like it wasn't going up in crazy. Every year was the same story with the, well, you know, they thought the cap was going to go up more and it didn't. You go, okay, because that's
what happened here in Pittsburgh. For example, like, you know, you trade McCann. Okay, there's a contract out. You protect Carter, who's, you know, what is he, 37, 37 years old?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, he has 1 year left on his deal, which is what they look at, and it's great. But then you just signed the year before Tanev, and I know they got new guys in there, and GMs and Hextall, and it's not their signing, but like you got this guy for, you know, 5 more years at 3.5 and wildly popular. Like Tanev is a wildly popular guy here because he just plays hard. He plays like every shift, like really hard. The Pens really do lack that. And then all of a sudden, you know, they expose it because it's like a 5-year tie up of this money where they're like, I don't know. Like how do you, first of all, you like Tanev, you like him, but you're like, I don't know, get this contract. Like, let's just, they'll take it. It was either him or Zucker who they left off the thing. And it's like, you know, pick your poison on the contract that we want to get rid of. That's all it was.
Dude, it's the number one league for talking about contracts. Like, people talk about it in baseball because you have budgets and you go, wow, okay, you know this. But think about it. Whose contract do you actually really know in baseball unless it's a huge free agent?
Plus, who's the most important player on your team? Who's the most, or in your organization? It's your GM. It has to be your GM and your cap guy. Like, that's it right now. Like, if you got the best GM and the best cap guy, you can, like, you know, manipulate this and finagle these deals and work this and figure out all these angles.
There's only so much you can do, but you
can manage it the best way with your prospects and build it the best. Mm-hmm. That's how it is now.
The problem with the NHL and the salary cap thing is that people don't mind it. And it doesn't seem to be like, I love Canadian teams going deep for the standpoint of everybody has rooting interest. But the idea that Montreal made it to a Stanley Cup finals this year is hilarious. Like, because let's be honest, the team was meh. And did they get hot and did they play well and did they get good goaltending? And yes, all those things are true. Like, so relax, Montreal fans. But like, teams that should be in the Stanley Cups, teams that should be in the finals of games, you shouldn't feel like are in year two of the, like, with their rookie guy coming in there and looking like one of the team's best player right away. You're supposed to be like the Tampa Bay Lightning, loaded, deep, strong in every
competitive
area.
Balance.
Yeah, right. And so this competitive balance,
that's the selling point.
But it's so dumb. Like, to me, it's an easy fix, and I'm an idiot, so I don't know how this works, and these GM or these owners seem to love it, but all you need to do is have a luxury tax where you penalize the teams, you have repeater taxes just like you have in the NBA, the money trickles down to the poorer owners. If the poorer owners end up having good teams, then they end up having a year where they can really push some of that money into the middle and have some fan pressure, and the teams that are relevant and that fans actually care about in this sport end up spending more money every year. There's more money going to the league. There's more money going into players' pockets. Everybody's happier. Fans are happier. Everybody's happier. And they want to stick with this stupid system where everybody judges every player by their cap number and what the guy is. And, like, this is the most frustrating part about this. And this is the last time I'm going to talk about it from the Carey Price angle. Well, buddy, I've been doing three shows in a row.
Yeah,
like, Cap is one of my passions. Like, I can't stand it. This has come up. If you listen to the show, you know I've done this rant before or something like close to it. But I'll say the last thing about Carey Price with this thing. Like, this really was another tipping point of me just being so pissed off that Carey Price would be available to a brand new franchise that's trying to sell new people on hockey fans, and you don't take him. And it's because and hockey fans almost unanimously are like, buddy, don't even talk about it because Carey Price's number is so bad. And but buddy, why are you even bringing this up? Like, nobody's gonna take him. It's Carey Price. We just watched him go in the playoffs this entire time where we're like, man, this guy, like, big game. There's the aura. He makes everybody play better in front of him. He's calm. He's cool. He just killed the Leafs. Leafs were number one in the NHL in the North Division this season. They looked like one of the best teams they'd ever assembled. Maybe we were a little wrong off it, but Carey Price just slaughtered him. He was like, yep, guess what? You guys think you're going to score on me? Absolutely not. I've never seen Austin Matthews miss the net so much, right? Matthews is trying to pick top corners. That's all he's shooting at because he knows it's the only prayer he has to beat Carey Price. You have a chance to get him in the building. You have a chance to have a couple good years of Carey Price, and you're like, nah, we're going with Chris Driedger because we don't want to pay cap hit this. You have Ron Francis making no trades this week, essentially, because he's like, we're not trading anything because cap space is the most valuable thing. And I said it off the top of the show. I'm like, did he overvalue the cap space? And now I'm having this conversation with you. I'm like, no, he properly rated it because there's nothing more valuable in the NHL to these guys than cap space. Like, it's more valuable than superstars. And that's proof because we just saw them pass on Carey Price. We just saw them pass on, I'm not really a Tarasenko guy, but it's like, we saw them pass on JVR.
Oh, yeah.
We saw, like, for a guy, they saw pass on JVR and Gostisbehere and all these other guys, like, for someone I never heard of, right? Like, Vorch, like, all these guys are available from the Flyers. Took a guy I'd never heard of once in my life. He could walk in this room and be like, I'm in the NHL. I'd be like, sure you are, bud. Pools out back. Like, I don't think.
I know, like, it's of course you're going to expose, like, big contracts, of course, but, like, you know, just wild to see these names and these guys that have put up the numbers that they've put up. And yeah, the numbers are big, but, like, that they just didn't want to touch them all because of that. It's just, like, wild, hey?
Yeah,
it was wild.
Dude, again,
but
what's wild is the amount of fans that you have fostered now, because the cap has been around long enough that there's a whole new generation of fans that it's like they're all little pseudo GMs. And I used to be the same way too, with wanting to do trades, and I'd play, you know, NHL, and I'd have all the lines, be on the trades, know every guy on every single team because I was playing the video games and also watching the league. But now you have people who care more about the salary cap than the players. You have people that care way more about the contracts than about any other story in the sport. You have people who turn on good players, myself included, who gets, like, super pissed at a young player like Mitch Marner who has a bad playoffs and goes, you got to get this out of town because of the contract, instead of like, hey, this is part of the process of having a team grow and build, and it just sucks. Like, there's no good part about it other than for the owners who get to keep everything flat and never have the pressure of going into the luxury tax or into a higher number. And everybody else is a loser, and we're all sitting here fighting about different things that really don't matter. It's just all it needs to be is adjustments to the cap. And for whatever reason, everyone in hockey is so complicit with this too, because every analyst, every person around the game is like, well, the owners will never do it. And I'm always like, yeah, I guess with that attitude of everybody just accepting that that's the case, like, I guess with no one ever addressing this issue, I guess with everyone just saying, well, that's the cap and that's a cap league and that's the reality and you got to be more diligent in the cap and it's harder to win and blah, blah, blah. It's not harder to win. It just takes more luck. Like, you got to be luckier.
You know what? That's what I loved. Like, and that's where the narrative started. Like, it's a young, it's, this is what, you know, I was still kind of playing. It's a young man's league. It's a young guy's league. It's young guys. Yeah, because young guys are cheap. Yeah, I get it. Okay. Yeah, they're good. They're good, but they're cheap. But everyone just bought in. They're like, oh, it's a young guy's league. And then the World Cup of Hockey came, and Team Europe with all these dusty old European guys went to the final against Canada, and they made it there. And I was loving it. I was loving it. All these like 35-year-old Euro dudes, like just like got to the final in this, you know, tournament where they had this Team North America 23 under team, which was wildly exciting. Yeah, sure. But it's like, yeah, look, like the old goats got there, you know? So like all this stuff has kind of just been, you know, moving along, you know, to what you said about, you know, people just buying into it. But, you know, from a player or a team point of view, like you've got this team, like there's never been like more of a time if I'm on a team that just, you know, just, I know it's hard to do, but just get to the playoffs. Just get to the playoffs. Because as we've seen, you know, several years over the, you know, however long, that every once in a while, like one of these eight seeds or in the Montreal Canadiens situation, you know, they were way out of it.
Dude, even Dallas last Stars year last bubble, year went to the Cup
they got,
Finals
like, pushed
and then
in
they're
into
out.
The playoff. Yeah, exactly. You think back to Philly losing to Chicago, they were like the eighth place team as well years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's all you got to do is get in and you could go on a run because every, you know, parity.